This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, thanks for listening to Remarkable Results Radio. I'm your host, Carm Capriotto, the pioneer of automotive aftermarket podcast. Hey, don't forget to head to my Carm Capriotto YouTube page and find every one of our live shows. Consider doing a lunch and learn with your team, because as you know, we all learn better together. And also, a huge resource, the Remarkable Results .biz website. It's all there for you. You know, going against the tide is never easy, but if you don't start, you may be left behind. Ever thought of an EV charging station at your shop? Well, there's a bunch of things to consider. Listen firsthand from shop owners that have an EV charging station at their location. Find out why they did it, especially knowing it wouldn't be a revenue builder. Gain insight and knowledge to keep you current on EV charging stations. Hey, thanks to our partner Shopware and Broadly for providing this episode. You know, every piece of paper that you touch adds up to seconds, minutes, and hours of your staff's time. Get paper out of your business and unlock your employees' potential with Shopware's digital shop management software. On the web at getshopware.com. Tell them Carm sent you. Hey, are you missing out on customers who call the shop during off hours? Well, with Broadly's web chat feature, customers can get the answers they need even when you're not in the shop. Great stuff on the web at getbroadly.com/chat. Jeff Walter is here from Zimmerman's Auto and Tire in Mechanicsburg, PA. What are you doing with an EV charging station, Jeff?
Having a lot of fun.
Perfect answer. Actually, I love that answer because you think about Mechanicsburg, well, there's farms out there. But anyway, I get it. I understand. Also, Melody and Phil Heller are here from Better Day Repairs in Boiling Springs, Pennsylvania. Hi, guys.
Good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, good to have you here. Now, you've got your unit up and running too, right, guys?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Jeffrey Joy is with us from What's Up Spot, LLC. Jeffrey's worked over 45 years in the automotive industry with positions ranging from technical trainers, specializing in tailpipe emissions, shop owner, vehicle emission expert. You even published and did training for NAPA. So you got a heck of a great background. Obviously, you know our business.
That was my other life, yes.
It was your other life.
He's had many.
Jeff's known me for a while.
It's really kind of cool to be sitting across from someone and say, hey, can you sell me one of these units and think they're from some kind of think tank somewhere, but you're of the cloth. I'm so glad you're with us. So here's my curiosity. Here's what I want to know. I want to know why. Jeff, I'm sure you and Judy had to come up with an answer to why should we do this. I want to know what's entailed. I want to understand what we charge customers for, what it costs us. And I don't believe this is a profit center. I'm not sure that it's a profit center. It's probably more of a convenience item or first-to-market strategy. What's the complexity level of installations? Do I have to hire a PhD with an electrical engineering degree to come in and do this for me? Everybody's laughing, so I must have hit a nerve. The laughter means I'm wrong. I want to understand what charging rates are. So if I have an hour to kill and I swipe my card and I plug in, you know, what am I going to get for that? And I'm also curious, I mean, all these taxes that we pay on gasoline, I wonder if that's part of the electrical thing. And what's the benefit to the customers? So those are my curiosity thinking points. So Jeff, let's start with you. You're located on a major north-south route. So that must mean all of us New Yorkers that want to go to Florida probably have to pass by your town somewhere.
Most of you do. Route 15 is a major north-south route. It goes into the capital, of course. Our major area is a bedroom community. Only 8% of it is business. I will tell you that the majority of what we see is hybrids. The plug-in hybrid is catching a lot of speed. We do have our fair amount of Teslas that we see in the shop that we're doing safety inspections on and putting tires on them in 13,000 miles. We made a company decision that we wanted to give away for people to have a window that we're able to work on these electric vehicles as well as hybrids, especially hybrids. But we wanted to create a market buzz that Zimmerman's is the place to go. And we thought one of those ways was to put in the stations.
Have you marketed this, you know, through AdWords, through Facebook?
That plan's coming. We're going to make a major rollout. It's kind of a soft opening the way we've done it so far. It's created a community buzz, but we're going to do a major campaign push during the spring months. Till we got this all wrapped up, what, late November, Jeff? Jeffrey, yeah. I think that's what it was, late November. I actually have a 1920 Sinclair fuel pump reproduction that I'm going to put out in between the two charging stations to kind of, because when we opened in 1958, we were a Sinclair station. So we're going to, that pump's going to sit right in the middle, and we have benches out there. We're just trying to create that buzz.
I love that. I mean, God, are you kidding me? An old Sinclair pump? Then and now. I mean, I can see the news people coming in and doing a feature article on this.
And that's what we're planning to do. The fuel pump was severely delayed because of the crisis of getting parts. Worked with a company out in Nebraska, family-owned company that does reproductions of all sorts of years of pumps. We didn't get that till late. No, I think we got that right about the time we finally got the stations done, and I decided not to let that get beat up during the wintertime. So that's why we're doing a spring rollout.
It's a great start for this show. Now, Melody and Phil, you guys can argue who wants to go first here. You were telling me that you had to upgrade the electrical service in the garage, so why the hell not put up a charging station, right?
That's correct. It seemed cost-effective at the time. If you're already going to be paying the electrician, you know, we could upgrade our service and then also have the right service for EV charging stations.
The equipment is X amount of money, but to run cables to a unit like that, unless you're putting it, you know, outside underground and stuff, if you're just putting it on the side of the building, for example, even a small piece of conduit, it can't be that expensive to do. The labor part.
We had probably around $2,500 in installation from an electrician to install the system. But, you know, every situation is different depending on the building and the layout. We were able to keep the cost down as much as we could, but building materials are high too right now with everything that's going on. So I'm sure we paid double what we normally would have paid 2 years ago.
Do you have to have a heavy electrical service, Jeffrey, to do this? You have to have like three phase?
Well, not three phase for what we call level one charging. Level two charging doesn't require three phase. You have to get up to the DC charging before you run into three phase. And it runs the gamut. There's a little bit of confusion in regards to the kilowatt output, whether you're AC or DC. There's no easy answer, and that's one of the things that I run into. Now, as far as Jeff's system is pretty customary, as far as, let's just say, starting at a kilowatt rate that's standard today. It seems like Heller's looked for the future and went to about four times the amperage, or twice the amperage roughly, for the output. And that's something that has to be considered with the costs and what the subsidies involve. And, you know, there's a lot to it. And, you know, frankly, installation wise, if you're putting on the side of the building, as Jeff and Melody and Phil did, the costs are going to be drastically less than putting it out on a post across the parking lot, which some people have to do because of the space requirements.
Hey, let's just quickly put up a picture. Is this one of your customers, Jeffrey?
That's the Heller's location. Oh. And they have the highest amperage of any of the, what we call the level two. The level two is almost 20 kilowatts, which frankly is today's standards. Only a Tesla S can utilize that, but that's changing. As you know, anything that happened 6 months ago is old news. Things are changing very rapidly.
You got to plan for the future. You said something called level one, level two, level three. Maybe you can give us a little taste of what that means.
Well, what happens is there's actually no level three. That's something that's a misnomer. The SAE hasn't developed a level three standard. It's only level one and level two. What we need to kind of stick to as jargon in the industry is we have level one, which is home charging. Level two ranges anywhere from 5.5 kilowatts all the way up to the Heller's 19.2 kilowatts. There's a lot of range in that AC charging. But there's basically DC charging, which is what a lot of people are saying is level three, which really doesn't exist except in, you know, at the bar. And you'll see a lot of blogs with the words level three, but in SAE standards, there is no level three. It's DC charging, or some people say fast charging.
Okay, you said 5.5 to 19.2. Was that amperage?
No, that's kilowatt output. After, you know, you're running from anywhere from 16 amps at a 240 circuit all the way up to what the Hellers have is 80 amps.
Does that tell me how quickly the vehicle will recharge?
No, unfortunately, there's a lot of different factors, and what we call is a vehicle acceptance rate, VAR. And if a Volt, Chevy Volt, came up to the Zimmermans, they're going to get the same amount as if they went to the Heller's location.
So it's the receiving unit that matters.
It has to communicate so that there's not fires and overheating and things like that. These are things that are bidirectionally communicated through the connector. In essence, if a Tesla comes to Jeff's, it's going to be a little slower. If a Tesla goes to the Heller's, then it's going to be about as much as it can take.
So, Jeffrey, when you sat down with the team and says, we're going to do this thing, and you did the research. I mean, are there restaurants that people stop at and hotels in your area? And then how do you get that charging stations up on a Google map so that people know they could stop there?
Frankly, and you'll see this phrase a lot, and I don't think many people understand, it's called destination charging. Even Tesla, if you look at the map of charging stations, you'll see the word destination. You'd scratch your head going, what does that mean? That means a low amperage system. That means you're going to be there a while. You know, a fast charging DC would be at a gas station where maybe 20 minutes are going to be there. But destination charging is more suited towards places that are going to be there for an hour or two, from a bowling alley, anything adjacent to perhaps a auto shop that is next to a shopping center. These are things where that's a level two charging system that people are going to be there for a while, and they're going to get a bang for the buck and happy they're there. And that increases traffic, you know, based on that location.
Got it. Jeff Walter, I think you told me, or you suggested that you, were you going to charge, or maybe it was you, Melody and Phil, different rates for a customer or guest?
We have customers that we want to supply to them first. So we're trying to support our local community. People that come in for a service on their vehicle, we want to give them the benefit of the lower price and getting it all done during their, let's say, inspection or oil change, those type of things. But it's a destination also here, like Jeffrey was talking about. So the biggest reason we were interested in this is because we have so much to do in our community. We want people to come in, and that will support our community by people coming, just seeing that they have a place to charge their vehicle. They can use our playhouse and the fly fishing and the local restaurants. There's a huge lake here. So those kind of things were really important. You know, I mean, we're trying to support the community is our biggest thing, why we're doing those two different rates.
I'm driving down the highway, guys. I'm going to this lake that you just talked about. How far is the lake from your place?
One block.
It's walking distance. Yeah.
So they're driving to the lake to have a beautiful time. Oh, my God, we can plug in right here, and we can see the lake, and we can have fun. And 2 or 3 hours later, when we're done, we can head back home because the car now is charged fully.
Right. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge natural spring here that runs underground. People are interested in that. I mean, people even come to scuba dive down under a cave. So it's just interesting. And also, we have a more green township, so we're trying to support them in that. We do have a lot of fly fishermen, like I said. So yep. Fishing is really big here.
Yeah, Boiling Springs is in a development process, too, right now. They're making a lot of changes with some upgrades and improvements to Children's Lake, as well as the roadways with sidewalks and bicycle routing and stuff like that. So there's going to be a lot of changes within the next 5 years here.
You're a destination, Jeff Walter, you're a destination on the highway. But if I was in a country town, it was miles away from just about anything, it would behoove me to even think of doing this unless I was going to do a service for my own hybrid or EV customers, right? Only for that.
Well, we're getting a little bit of the neighborhood. There are a lot of plug-in hybrids, and they're coming up and using it. We have enough parking that we can let them sit there. They'll ask us, can we let it sit there overnight? We say, sure, go ahead. I actually have a customer that has his fleet vehicle is an electric Polestar is the vehicle, and he leaves it here overnight. He actually brought another vehicle. He leaves it in our parking lot, and he leaves this one at night and takes that one home and comes back and picks it up in the morning. And we have enough parking to be able to accommodate that. So he'll actually charge it overnight.
So my question is I pull up to a gas pump with my big fleet vehicle, and I put the hose in it, be it diesel or gas. I walk away with an $89 bill, and I come to Jeff Walter's place and I plug it in. What am I going to walk? What's it going to cost me, Jeff? Any idea?
$10.
Wow.
It's not much.
To bring it up to its capacity, no matter what that is, obviously.
It depends on that. But most of the time, I've been watching it. I have a desktop that I can watch the charging and what we're getting in fees. And it turns out to be about $10 almost every time.
This is a wash based on your cost, Jeff?
Obviously, it's not a return on investment with us. We're giving power away. We charge what we figure is a fair amount that we could probably break. We're probably breaking even with the extra power outlay. It has not, so far after a month, it has not increased our power bill significantly that we even notice. So it's not been that bad.
I need to step in right at that moment, because the power consumption rate is a very important thing to consider anytime you come into EV charging. Your power rate is based on usage, and your power rate can drastically increase when you have certain levels of EV charging. For instance, an air-conditioned shop uses a lot in the summer. I have a client that has air conditioning, and he has a system, a smart system. If he starts to get to that point with a different tier level of power, it shuts the EV systems down, because if he goes 1 minute over that threshold, his entire bill is a different rate. So these are the kind of things that really have to be taken into consideration.
This isn't a quick, simple buy it off the shelf, install it. Jeffrey, what you're saying is, There's a lot more to this for the shop owner to consider, because they may be surprised by something because of what you said, power consumption rates.
And if they have the equipment that's not available to use that smart device, then they're stuck with what they bought.
And Melody and Phil, was that one of the reasons you needed an upgrade, but you thought that through before you actually did your upgrade so that you were covered?
The panel box in the building was the original. And it was a safety hazard, fire hazard. When we had electrician come in, we looked at it to upgrade, with also the intent down the road to expand if the need came up that we could expand and add to the existing service if we needed to add additional chargers down the road.
One of the ways that that's done in a lot of locations where you're pretty much tapped out on your power, you're adding another service through the electric company. They're going to put another meter on, and that way you don't have what I just described as that bad scenario. Even when you have a transformer pole on above ground electrical lines, you can run a service right off that pole. And these are things that I have a small town in Pennsylvania. That's exactly what they want to do, because it makes sense. It's a hotel bed and breakfast, and they can't afford for the power to spike on them. So they add another service account onto their electrical service.
Are there any standards being formulated out there for this? Why are you laughing so hard, Jeffrey?
I'm not an expert. I'm a student, and I'm having a very difficult time with all the materials I have to look through to give help as we are today. But there's just so much, and the standards are being, right now there aren't any. And it could have a lot of effect. Jeff and I had talked many times. The utility companies are trying to kind of monopolize this EV, because they know there's a lot of funds, as you probably watch the news. There's a lot of money out there, and they're trying to monopolize this. In fact, Jeff is even involved in some of the politics in that. And, you know, we want to all have a fair advantage when it comes to offering services. And for the electric companies who own the poles, it can be an easy monopoly.
Jeff, talk to me about the politics.
So there was a bill that was advanced in the state they brought up, where the power companies were basically, it was a bill they wanted so that they could cradle the grave, add EV charging stations. They wanted to create the network themselves. We got involved. I got involved because of being with the state association, and I saw and I said, wait a minute, I don't mind competing with anybody, but why would I want to compete with a utility that can play all sorts of games because they're a public utility? And I don't think that that's a fair marketplace for all of us, like Phil and Melody and I, to compete in this market. I have full intentions of This was step one of the of my final step, which step two is go to the DC fast charging. That's where it's at. That's where it's going to be. But I'm just waiting for the next grant to come around so that we can do it. Because the cash outlay for that is way different than what we all just did now.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Carm here. Now keep listening to find out more information on state funding for EV charging stations. When it comes to servicing vehicles, you're crushing it. Your techs are skilled, their work is top-notch, but something is missing. Shopware, an industry-leading shop management system, could be your secret weapon. Not only does the SMS eliminate busy work for your skilled technicians, but it improves your customer service experience as well. Can you already see those five-star reviews? If you schedule a call with a Shopware rep, they can show you the endless examples of five-star reviews their SMS is driving for hundreds of auto shops around the country. How do they do it? Well, for starters, they have an easy-to-use interface that allows estimates to be reviewed and approved on any device. Can you say cha-ching? We all know that the best customers are the ones that keep coming back. Book a demo with my friends at GetShopware.com to see how their software can drive repeat business for your shop. Would you ever consider going to a restaurant you've never heard of without first checking the reviews on Google? Well, probably not, right? Now think about someone who has to bring their car, one of their most valuable possessions, into a shop they haven't heard of. They're probably going to want to read some Google reviews first to make sure that they're going to a reputable place. Broadly is focused on helping auto shops increase their number of reviews on Google. Now they know that that's one of the best ways to build trust with potential customers and get your business discovered online. Google reviews are going to make you stand out from your competition and get more customers coming into your shop. Trust me, reviews can make all the difference in your business. So what are you waiting for? Get Broadly's system to help prospects have confidence in your shop when they see a large number of five-star reviews. Make the move. Visit Broadly on the web at getbroadly.com/chat and start chatting with a Broadly representative. Learn more on the web at getbroadly.com/chat. Hey, guys, you just brought up this whole DC thing. And so confuse me now, Jeffrey Joy. Confuse me.
a DC charging system can run anywhere from 50 kilowatts all the way to 400 kilowatts.
And why do I need that much?
Number one, you can have multiple plugs, which has to divide up the power. There's a lot of different, and every time I open my mouth, I know I'm tangling the web, but you know, you can have a couple different systems. You can have one individual power supply for each plug, or you can divide the power up into multiple plugs. So it depends on who's there. If you have four other people next to you charging, it may be dividing up that output. But when it comes to DC charging, you're talking about 10 times the cost. The efficiency of it is directly to your DC battery. So somehow that voltage has to be transformed from three-phase 480 volts somehow down to something that's going to be usable on your vehicles, which have much larger batteries. For instance, let me jump to the Hellers for a moment. You know, they have a system right now that's up to 20 kilowatts. They could put a system to 150 kilowatts, and when someone comes in, they may want a fast charge. They may want, hey, we're going to be here for a couple hours, or just go into the restaurant. So they would have two systems there with two different rates for the consumer. One is going to be the guy that just comes off the road, and the other is going to be the one that's going to be there for most of the day. So it really varies a lot, and it comes down to what your motivation is behind, do I really want to do this? And if I do, what am I thinking? I think that's really what's important.
This is scaring me, by the way. I just want to let you know that. I walk in and I buy a brand new car and they sit down with like 90 options. And all I wanted to do was buy a car, right? What color, what seat, what this, what that. And it's so interesting that since there's no standards, since you can buy capacity here or there, and what does my community need? How will it go and how will it grow? Jeffrey, you have to be nervous to propose a system to somebody.
Most of the subsidies will be, they're in the works right now. Nothing's in stone today. They're still meeting on a regular basis to decide how to disperse these subsidies and these funds for each state. And each state's going to be different. They have their own rules. So we're talking to a universal audience right now. And, you got to do some homework when it comes to what your state's going to have. Now, Jeff's situation, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, they want DC charging subsidies to be spent on major thoroughfares, which he is on. So he has a good chance of getting some good funding for this because he's so close to the Pennsylvania Turnpike and the main throughways to the Capitol. So that's every scenario is going to have its own little nuances.
You know, Jeff Walter, this is what we need to do. We need to talk about this stuff in our industry.
Right. And we need to talk about it. And I wanted to take the step to help with that conversation. We've just made that decision as a company that we're going to be first to market on this. It was easy for us because we brought some of the first gas pumps to this area in 58. And so I said, I felt like I was stepping in my father-in-law's shoes and we're going to take this bold step and we're going to go this route. I will tell you the community buzz so far has been great. It's put us on the map. Literally, both Google and just locally, people talking about it. We were in a position that we can take these steps. We have a few missteps along the way to learn from. Hopefully, we can take that information and pass it along to other shops in the area.
Got it. Melody, what are the customers saying?
Well, there's mixed emotions because we have a elderly population and a lot of them want their gas vehicles. So you've hit a nerve there. So they just want to make sure we're not prejudiced to gas vehicles still. So we're trying to assure them that, we're trying to think forward, not take away their what they already enjoy. And we have a lot of customers that collect vehicles. And so, we're trying to stay neutral, but also supporting the younger generation or the newer vehicles coming on the market.
I guess what you would say to them, if I stopped working on gas-powered vehicles, I'd be on subsidies.
Yeah. Right. We want to specialize in the EV and electrical vehicles, which is why we planned forward. But at the same time, that is not completely going to be taking place quickly, but it is coming. So we can't wait on it.
I jump in here. One of the reasons that we invested in the Mustang was our main use for it, other than I'm driving it back and forth to work every day. The main use is when it's here, it's a customer shuttle. And like Melody and Phil, we have Messiah Lifeways, which is a huge retirement home population. And to alleviate fear, we're taking them home in the Mustang. I mean, nice. It really handles like a normal car. It feels like a normal car other than you have no noise feedback. That excites them. I mean, that gets them a little bit excited and it kind of relaxes them that, this can work. I mean, I would never recommend an electric vehicle for a long distance travel at this point. But for around town, to pick up parts, to take customers home, pick them up, it's a great around vehicle and we're having a lot of fun with it.
What's your range?
300 miles.
It's not bad.
No, it's not horrible. I haven't worn down the battery yet.
The long and short of it is even from a maintenance standpoint and the consumer's comfort level, is plug-in hybrids are going to be the product of choice. And you see it every day, 25-1. EVs are going to be charged at home. That's just the way it is. You're not going to look at this from a shop standpoint. They're not going to look to, hey, could you put tires on and charge my car up while it's here? You're not going to see that kind of thing from the industry. They shouldn't be looking at it as that type of any type of convenience. What you're looking at is plug-in hybrids. That is going to be the product of choice. And when it comes to vehicle service, you still have a gas engine that needs oil changes. Yeah. You're going to see that trend. And I don't have a crystal ball. I just read a lot. And I'm trying to think, if I was a consumer, what would I be thinking? And I think the industry should look at that as well and say, look, people are going to utilize my charging who have plug-in hybrids. And that's really where it's going.
brings up so many discussion points about being sure you're in the hybrid business and then backing that up with some charging stations. It almost feels right. But Jeffrey, EVs are going to be charged at home. I don't understand the difference in why you're saying that.
Well, the reason I'm saying that, number one, you know, in Europe, of course, you can't build a property without putting in an outlet in your garage. It's 240 plus, you know, 16 to 30 to 50 amps. Okay, it's a norm. You hear it's a regulation. That's soon going to be the case here. You're going to have the availability to charge what you need in, like, Jeff's battery. He would never, if he didn't own his own charging, he would never need to take his Mustang elsewhere. So in with that mindset, you have to ask yourself, who's going to be using my charging station? You know, and knowing that, for instance, Jeff's gets 300, a plug-in hybrid gets 30. Jeff's daughter, she has a Pacifica. It gets 30 some miles and it's on gas power. So that's the kind of thinking you have. Go to a destination, get some food to eat, go to the bowling alley, you're plugged in while you're there, and you get your 36 miles back again.
It's a bumper car.
Well, you know, that's when I talk to those that are considering this, I say, look, you think of it like that. And Jeff, like he mentioned, has got a stepping stone. He wanted to break into it. He did. Very inexpensively, might I add, because of the subsidies. But, you know, he has a thought for the future just like the Hellers do. And that's what we have to do. We have to get started.
Fascinating. I have so much to learn. Oh, my God. Thank you for all wanting to come on here. I get the infrastructure. And thanks, Jeffrey, for not taking us down a technical labyrinth. But I'm going to give you a last word here. And if you want to dazzle us with some stuff, I'm happy with that. But so we've got incentives out there. And are they nationally or are they statewide? Are they county? How's all that working?
The way it works is every state has their own funding. And the first funding came from the Volkswagen settlement for the diesel cheating. That money was distributed, and that's what we're working on, some of the subsidies. So that's what the two shops that we're talking to today, we have took advantage of. But there's other state programs. There's you know, that's insurmountable. You have to know each state and their programs. And, of course, at the end, you have a federal tax credit on top of that. No matter what you do, you got 30% coming from the feds as far as a tax credit. So there's a lot out there to help with the costs because let's face it, they want to motivate, and it's the chicken and the egg. I hate that phrase, but it is. I mean, you got to have charging stations to sell vehicles. You got to give people money to buy electric cars. It's all being promoted in different ways. So there's no easy answer for subsidies, but they're out there.
You know, there's so much more to talk about, Jeff, Melody, Phil, and Jeffrey, and I want to go around the room. You guys submitted to me some great things you wanted to say. If we didn't cover them, Phil, I'll start with you, Melody next, then Jeff Walter and Jeffrey Choi. I'll give you the last word.
We took the approach with the charging, just looking at what's in the news media, seeing that the car manufacturers are heading that direction. I was just watching a tire manufacturer yesterday saying that by 2030, they're expecting 60% of all automobiles to be electric. So we got to be ready for it if we want to stay in this business, I guess, is our approach to it, is why we're looking at it this way.
We got to ride the wave. Melody.
A lot with this also is that there'll be different type of services for the EV and electric vehicles. And they go through tires a lot faster than a regular gas vehicle. So they're going to be doing more tire work. And there's other things you need to look at beyond, you know, there's just so many things beyond. And so just always be researching, you know, what are the parts going to be like? And what is the servicing going to be like? And just making your customers feel comfortable that you are, you know, researching that and that you have some solutions if they have questions. And like you said, and for us, this has all been about just providing a service. It wasn't like a moneymaker. It was a providing a service and a way to bring people to our town and a way to take care of the people that are already here. So we appreciate just being able to support them and hopefully support other small garages that, you know, are thinking about this, just to give them some ideas of why they would want to even pursue this. And yes, the grants were very helpful. So just be watching, because I'm sure more are coming in the future. So
we've got to pay attention to this. You've got to do research. You have got to read about this. You've got to figure out what's going on for the grants, both local or statewide or government-wise. Just don't turn your back on this. You know, Jeff, it goes back to the, oh, my God, here comes disc brakes and fuel injection. Ah, it's that's going to go away. No, it's not going away. So to your point on tires, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said to me, do you know they're going to make tires just for EVs? And I had not even thought that through, but thank you for mentioning that. It's like, well, you got snow tires, you got all, you know, well, you're going to have EV tires, to your point.
EV tires that are low resistance, that rolling resistance. That's what they're
doing. And wider bays for the electrical vehicles. That's coming.
You know, your commitment to fix hybrids, which I have been on a soapbox about, you've got to, you know, even brand your place, you know, what is it, Boiling Springs Hybrids, why not? You know, get that brand out there. And then when people come in and you say, here's a coupon for a free hour on my charger. I don't know if you can do that or not. I just don't know. Oh, really? Oh, wow. That's really wild.
You can do all kinds of things when you own the unit and out a card.
Absolutely.
Jeff Walter, your last word, sir.
Everything they said was exactly the same reason that we got at the same spot of putting them in. The subsidies at this point, being ahead of the game and making sure we had those subsidies, made the cash outlay almost non-existent. I mean, there was some there, but very low cash outlay at this particular time. So it gave us a way to put our foot out there and in the door that everybody knows that we have those stations here. And that gives us a market advantage, I think, that says, hey, this is the place to go to work on our hybrids, whatever EV vehicle they have, because they already show that they can, that they're charging them, that they're heading down that path. We've always strived to be on the forefront. I was the person that whenever everybody said they would never work on electronic ignition, that's when I started. And I remember my father-in-law said, you're the young guy, you're it. So my career path has always been to be at the front of those lines, not at the end of those lines, trying to catch up, and putting charging stations seem to be the next evolution in doing that.
Well, you put your young guy's hat on and made a really cool decision.
Hard to do when you're 65, but yes.
No, you don't look a day over 49.
Yeah, right. Smooth. You're a smoother.
Before I give Jeffrey Choi the last word, Jeff Walter Zimmerman's Auto and Tire Mechanicsburg, PA, and probably everybody knows Judy Zimmerman, Walter, and you know that's your better half, and of Melody and Phil Heller from Better Days Repairs, Boiling Springs, Pennsylvania, focusing on EVs, hybrids, and all that really cool stuff. So, Jeffrey Choi, what's up? Spot LLC, that's his company. And man, you can have the last word.
Well, my last word is kind of the outline that I use during my presentations and seminars for the public, for the industry and such. It's just understanding, you know, the bullet points, and the bullet points is, what's your motivation? You know, why are you doing this? You know, if you don't understand it, then you need to do some more homework and understand your business models a little bit better. But there's a flow chart. I provide a flow chart for business in the automotive aftermarket. You know, is it going to be a private system, a public? I can tell you they're half and half. There's ones that don't open to the public. Are you going to be a wall-mounted pedestal or even in the ceiling in your shop? You're going to have a charge port there. What kind of hours are you going to operate? The supply, what's it going to cost? You know, or do you have a tier rate consideration like the smart charging systems? Are you going to give it away? I mean, there's places that will. Are you going to offer, you know, for your own customers some discounts? Is it just going to be brought in? You know, and there's a thing called a back office, which a lot of places don't have. And what that is it's point of sale. There's a whole nother part to the software besides just doing an installation. And people have to understand that there's a way to charge people, and they got to know how that money, you know, moves between the charge supply and such. So, I have a lot to say. That, like you said, there's a lot of highly technical questions and answers. And I appreciate the time you gave me, but you know I could go on for hours.
I know that. And you're going to be my go-to guy. If you're willing to give your email, you know, for the show notes or at any time if people want to get a hold of you.
Well, it's Jeffrey at What's Up Spot, and that's what like the light bulb hyphen upspot.com. It's as easy as can be. And I have... in a way that they can communicate, ask questions, and I'm delighted to help any of the industry get where they need to be.
Thank you so much for being here. Guys, I got to make a comment on what some of you all have kind of alluded to. Why rush to be first for free? Well, I may give it to them free. I may charge them a guest here and there. Why, as an industry, do we want to be first and free? And I think we should think that through because, you know, we all know we need to make money somewhere along the line. And if we could at least make EV charging break even for us and charge a little bit to the customers, at least we're not giving it away and forcing the next person to spend X amount of dollars and never have any return on investment. So we should be careful of that, Jeff, because we love to give things free in our industry, don't we?
Too much.
Yeah, there you go. Too much. Thank you for answering. Hey, everyone, have a wonderful weekend. Thank you for all the enlightenment. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.